Hey guys, back with you today. We are doing volume two.
Volume two, yeah.
Of the rap. I mean, this is a thing now, I guess. I'm not really sure. We're trying to look at least a little bit more professional here with our sort of kind of podcast setup.
Yeah, we've got the microphones and everything this week, so
we do.
I think it'll be good.
Actually, it really boils down to neither one of us wore a shirt that would be conducive to wearing a wireless microphone, so we had to go to this for today. But we just wanted to come back with, like I said, volume two of the rap and try to just dialogue a little bit, digest a little bit what we talked about yesterday in the sermon. And really, it's a fairly easy thing to talk around because we had three words that we're really trying to surround everything with. And we talked about rejoicing, rejoicing in our confident hope. We talked about being patient in troubles and tribulation.
Patient in all times.
Patient in all things and in all times, absolutely, as well. And then we talked about being persistent in prayer. And we use those couple parables in Luke 11 and Luke 18. I just wanted to kind of talk, like I said, and dialogue a bit. We would encourage you that as you see this video and you have a thought, something that if you watched a sermon yesterday or you have something off of what we say today, please feel free to comment, you know, and leave us what you were thinking and what your reaction is and what questions you might have. We want this to be really interactive. Obviously, we're not doing it in the moment. But we want to be able to have a conversation going throughout the week. I think there's a lot of value in like not just letting a sermon sit on a Sunday morning and be like, oh, that was fine and nice, but to continue to talk about it, to think about it, to dialogue about it throughout the week. I really think that the way I would put it is a sermon should live, you know, for the rest of the week. It should have something to go for the rest of the week. Yeah. So just kind of let you lead out a little bit here, Levi, and maybe some things that you were thinking or some questions you might still have, and let us kind of, like I said, just dialogue about it a little bit about this sermon out of Romans 12:12 from Sunday. So
I was, you know, thinking obviously we'll start with the rejoicing part of things, and I was thinking about how you know, it's easy to be rejoicing in the good times when things are going well. You know, I'm good at thinking, God, thank you so much for what you've done. However, when I'm going through the thick of things, it's a little bit harder. Yeah. It's harder to be rejoicing because as humans, we tend to focus on what we don't have rather than what we do have.
Yeah.
Or what's going wrong rather than what has gone right to this point, you know. I think that's where the struggle lies, and I think that's why, you know, over and over and over in the Bible you see, you know, meditate on the word and really think about what God's done for you, think about God's goodness, because it's that kind of thing that's going to pull us through those tough times that we've been facing and those valley experiences.
Yeah, kids, that's we don't just say be in God's word because it sounds like a good trendy thing to say.
Right.
We say it because it's extremely important. Yeah. It is vital for you being able to do what Paul says here in Romans 12, to rejoice. Yeah. Again, because it's easy to rejoice when things are lovely and wonderful and rosy. It gets really tough. And honestly, I don't know. I don't have huge answers right now. But the question is, how in the world do we do that? How do we rejoice when times are difficult?
Right.
Pain hits, because it will.
It does.
Life is going to hit. It's going to hit you. How do you do that? I'm not here to say that I have any wonderful, like, great answers about that. That's the part of the tension and struggle of living the Christian life.
Yeah.
But we know that we're told to do that. Rejoice in confident hope. How do we do that? I think a big part of that is God's word. And the big part of that always is, I say this on a lot of the sermons that I preach, is the reason that we ground ourselves, anchor ourselves, root ourselves in God's word is to remember what God has done in the past.
Yes.
That's the biggest part of it. I think that that's the thing that kind of helps us to maintain hope, is that we personally can see what God has done in our lives. Yeah. It helps to inform our present, and it helps to give us hope for the future.
Yeah, there was a song I remember singing a few years back. It was talking about God's faithfulness in the chorus, and if I'll probably botch this up, it's probably not completely accurate, but the same message. You know, it talked about, I will look back and see that you're faithful. Mm. I look ahead believing you're able.
Yeah.
And that's so key, of being able to look back, you know, whether it be in the word, you know, and what he's done for us on the cross, and even looking back on those experiences that we've had in our own life as well, of how faithful God's already been.
Yeah.
I think that's, you know, that's what the Bible is, right? That's just the reminder of how faithful God is.
Yeah,
you know, because he's been that rock and that true true north, if you will.
Yeah.
Since the beginning of time.
Yeah. Yeah. It's interesting you should bring that up, because that was one of the aspects of my study this past week for the sermon. And not everything that I get to study makes it into my sermon. Some of you probably can't believe that, because you're like, wow, he puts a lot into that sermon, like way too much sometimes. But believe me, there's a lot of stuff that I would say gets left on the cutting room floor.
So what you're saying is they are getting the short version.
You are getting the short version of things on a Sunday morning, believe it or not. And so, you know, praise God, hallelujah for that. You're getting short version. There's a lot of stuff that gets left on the cutting room floor.
Yeah, yeah.
And one of the aspects that I look at is why do we rejoice? Why are we patient? Why do we persist in all of this? And it goes back to, and this is why it's so important that we've been doing Romans 12 and almost really just taking it verse by verse, because all this stuff starts to tie together. You go back to, again, Romans 12:1, in light of the mercies of God, we are to give ourselves back to God. The reason that we rejoice, the reason that we are patient, and we're going to kind of move on to that here in just a bit, is the fact that God is so insanely full of patience and long-suffering. You know, I just, one of the verses that I think of, I believe it's in 1 Peter, where he says, don't think that God is being slow or he's delaying too much, but he's being patient with you.
Yeah.
He's being exceedingly patient with you so that you would have a chance to turn back to him and to experience salvation. And so, you know, for any of us in our lives, don't think that God is just letting you sit there and just wallow and just squander your life. He is doing something in that moment.
Yeah.
And again, so that's why we rejoice, that we know it's not about what we're having and experiencing in the moment, but it's about what God's doing in that and will continue to do in that moment.
Yeah.
So kind of verging a little bit here and moving away from rejoicing and moving into patience. Which,
nice segue. I like that.
That was a good segue.
That was smooth.
I tell you guys, this is only volume 2, but I feel like we're really getting the flow.
Next week
we're
going to have to start fan mail.
Yes, fan mail. Ooh, that would be
call outs. Yeah.
Guys, would you like comment? Would you send us fan mail? Would you be willing to do that? Anyways, we're going into patience here, and this is probably, I would say, one of the most difficult subjects.
This is the one I struggle with the worst.
I asked people yesterday during our prayer gathering on our Zoom call yesterday morning. I said, there are three things that we're going to talk about for the sermon. Which of these three are you most in tune with and it comes the most natural to you? And which of these is the most difficult? And without fail, the people that were in that group.
I think it was pretty unanimous.
Patience is the one that we struggle with the most. I mean, why is that we struggle with patience? And what was pulled out of the sermon for you as it has to do with patience?
For me, you know, that patience, I'm not good at it in any arena of my life. but B, I think it's because, and it goes back to what I think you were talking about, you know, when we think God is tarrying and he's not moving the way we want him to move, or we can't see what he's doing behind the scenes. I like to be in control, and I'm not very patient on waiting for people to do something that I think they should be doing right now. Like, and that including God. Like, God, I want you to do this, this, and this on my timetable.
I want you to move
in this way,
doing it like this.
Yeah. And if not, I'm going to start freaking out because this thing's not getting done, you know. And so, yeah, for me, patience is, and being, I think it's more than, I think it's patience, but it's patient waiting and waiting well and trusting, you know, that goes into that patience of trusting what God's doing and knowing that he's going to come through in the right time, not necessarily in the time I want him to, but in the right time for what he's accomplishing.
Yeah, exactly. Again, that's why I bring up that quote again that I had in the sermon. I'll keep on putting that quote out there because it is such a powerful one. Charles Spurgeon says, when we cannot trace his hand, when we don't know what he's doing, why he's doing it, how long it's going to take for him to do it, guess what we're going to do? We're going to trust God's heart.
Yeah.
And everything about Scripture and God's Word tells us that God's heart is set towards us. I don't say that in a vain way, like, oh, God, all that God thinks about is us and all he thinks about is me. No, but God cares incredibly and deeply
for
us. Yeah. And so we have to know that God wants only good for us.
Yeah.
So I think just knowing that and just continuing to tell ourselves that, preach that to ourselves over and over again, God only wants good for you, will help us to relax a little bit, to loosen up the control, loosen up the grip.
And that ties in with that rejoicing factor, right? Like if we're rejoicing in the fact of what God's already done, we're reminded of the fact that He's faithful. He's
there.
In any situation. Yeah, I'm you know, when I'm looking back and seeing God's faithfulness, it's not necessarily when the times were going great that I see His faithfulness the most.
Yeah.
It's in those times I look back and be like, man, that was a horrible situation, but look what happened. You know, God pulled us through. He provided for us, whatever it may have been, you know, and those are the times that encourage me and give me that patience to go ahead and wait it out, you know, wait it out.
Or as we were kind of talking about as well, talking with about the Israelites and their wandering in the wilderness, it would have looked to them, and it does look to us initially, like, what are these bozos doing? Like, what's God having them doing? They're wandering all over
the place,
meandering with no purpose or sense.
Yeah.
But when we are able to look back on things in our life, we can say, oh, my land, that was so the right decision. Yeah. That was so the right direction that God led me in.
It took the Israelites from, you know, when they first came into Canaan, and they're like, well, we can't handle this. You know, they're giants in this city, you know. It took them from that position to, we know that God can do this.
Yeah, absolutely. Let's conquer this
and
baby.
I think that's that switch that God was waiting on of, now you're ready.
But even in that, if you remember the story too, what does God say when He brings them into the promised land? He says very specifically, I am not going to let you conquer this land all at once.
Yeah.
Because there's not enough of you. Yeah. You're not ready. Yeah. There's not enough of you.
Yeah.
If you conquer it and you drive these people out, you're going to have all of this space that you have to occupy, and it's going to be overrun with wild animals. You know, so like, just wait on me.
Yeah.
It's a process.
It's like when I was, you know, way younger, and you know, in, you know, sixth grade, and I'm like, I want to drive. Mom and Dad didn't just say, okay, here's the car keys, have at it. You know, it was after I was ready to take the wheel, you know. And even then,
probably not ready.
Probably not quite ready. Yeah. But you know, it's that preparation period.
But at the same time, you know, even in our life here on earth, and as people who follow Christ, we understand that we are never ready. We are never fully formed this side of eternity, but our goal at all things and in all time should be that we are constantly, consistently becoming more conformed to the image of Christ, becoming looking more like Him. And so
to lean on Him more often.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. Persistence. Let's talk about persistence a little bit. I think I would, in some situations, define myself as a persistent person. I like to, I guess if you would say it, pride myself on that sometimes. If there's something I really lock my mind into and something I really want to accomplish, oh man, I'm headstrong. I will not stop. I mean, it's annoying. And that's kind of how these stories frame themselves up in Luke 11 and Luke 18.
Yeah, yeah.
It's like,
you almost feel for the judge.
You're like,
oh man,
buddy,
I've had people like that. You know?
I'm with you. I just want to get rid of this woman or the neighbor that he goes to and says, hey man, I want to borrow a couple of sugar here. Like, dude. Get out of my space, all right? So sometimes it's easy to be persistent, but sometimes it's incredibly hard to maintain that persistence. What is it about life and the way that life unfolds sometimes that makes it difficult, in your estimation, to continue to be persistent in prayer?
I think sometimes we're too quick to say, well, God, you didn't answer that prayer the way I thought you would in the timetable I thought you would, so it must not be your will. And be done with it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, when I think sometimes it is a wait type of thing. Like, it's not time yet.
Yeah.
But you still need to be praying about it, you know?
Yeah, absolutely.
I think of, when I think of persistence in prayer, we had a family member that, I know several people who were praying for him day in, day out, that he would come to the Lord. He would come to the Lord, and he was so against, like, Christianity's for weak people. Like, he was, you know, Marine, you know, I've got this kind of proud. But we just kept praying for him, you know. He just kept praying that he'd come to the Lord. And shortly before he passed, I would say probably a year or so before he passed, he had gotten really sick, and God really got a hold of him. And for the last part of his life, like, if the church doors were open, he was there. You know, it was a complete 180 switch.
Yeah.
And I believe it was that persistence in prayer that kind of led him to that spot.
Yeah.
You know, I think that's the many people that were praying for him and praying that he would find the Lord. You know, it was years, like, years.
Yeah.
But those prayers did finally come to fruition.
Yeah.
But
I mean, it's a great insight, too. So maybe there's something to that and thinking about that, that maybe until we get to the point in our lives, and the point especially in our prayer lives, where we are desperate. We lose all of our pride and all of our pretense, and we are shameless.
Yeah.
We become bold. Maybe that's really the answer. Is maybe we need to, like, cut away some things in our life that we're not desperate enough.
Mm-hmm.
I know that sounds like really bad. Like, I don't want to be a desperate person. That's really weird. Like, but in your faith,
yeah,
like, you need to be desperate. You need to realize that.
And that desperation shows itself in who or what do you turn to when things get bad? What's the first place? Where's the first place you turn?
Yeah,
you know, I think that really shows where your faith lies.
Yeah.
You know, and I'll be upfront and honest, like, I'm not, you know, I'd like to say, yeah, I always turn to prayer first. I don't.
We turn to ourselves.
I do. I'm like, naturally. My instinct is, how can I combat this?
You know?
But really my focus should be on prayer first.
Yeah.
You know, and going to God first on those things.
Yeah.
And I think that's where God wants. He wants us totally dependent on Him in all things. And that brings the perseverance. That brings the patience, you know.
Yeah, absolutely.
Because we know that God is faithful.
Yeah.
We rejoice in that fact. See, I'm bringing it all,
tying it
all together. We rejoice in the fact that He's faithful.
Yeah.
We can have patience through that time because we know He's faithful. And we're going to persist because we know He's faithful.
Yeah.
You know?
Absolutely. It's all about God's faithfulness,
yeah.
His patience, His long-suffering, and all things. And the one thing that I would say, and kind of wind things down here, is I've heard it a lot of times said this way, is oftentimes when it comes to things in life, we give up at just the moment where a breakthrough is right on the other side.
Yeah.
And again, that's not just some wonderful statement or some, like, oh, wow, that was really deep. No, that's real life, and that bears itself out in all of Scripture, especially when you use a lot of Israel's story on Sunday. That's Israel's story. What happens if they come up against the Red Sea and they're like, that's it? I mean, they did. Like, we're done. We can't go anywhere else. Moses leads them and says,
every time they hit a new obstacle, it was like, well, we should have went back to Egypt. You know?
But isn't that our life? Isn't that our life? Don't make fun of them. Don't laugh at them. Don't say, how stupid are you? It's our life. It's like, well, I'm sorry, I'm done. An obstacle, I can't do this anymore. We come up against it. But if we would just persist and be faithful, because God is faithful to us, we would see, it doesn't happen 100% of the time. Like, if we just, that one more time, that one more push, breakthrough is going to be right there. But more often than not, man, that's what happens. Is a breakthrough is right there if we would just. My encouragement, I think, to everyone would be that rather than trying to be overwhelmed with the quantity of your prayers, because I think sometimes we feel like if we can get a whole bunch of prayers going out there.
Yeah, it's not a frequent flyers miles
no,
thing.
No, it's a quality.
It is.
So if you can commit to like one or two things, one or two people that are really on your heart, one or two situations that are really on your heart, and you just keep going in that until you see some sort of a breakthrough, a change in that, I think that would really reframe our entire prayer life, and it would enhance and strengthen our faith immensely in all things. Yeah. So anything else that you had to add on that? That was pretty good conversation there. Yeah. Again, guys, if you have something that you would like to comment on, something that came out to you in the sermon, either on Sunday or in this video that we've been doing today, please chime in. Chime in with questions. Again, always, if you have a prayer request that you would like to give over to God and you would like for us to be praying for, we'd love to do that. Also, on a lighter note, remember, any fan mail to be sent to sent to 2752 West State Road 44 right here in Connersville, and we would love to answer that fan mail as well. Any shout outs, any little gifts that you would like to send in, it'd be great too. Nah, guys, just joking with you. Thanks for watching, and I hope this is encouraging to you, and it helps you along the way in your day. So volume 2 of the wrap in the books. It's a wrap. So we'll see you next time.